Hey, all right. Well, super excited for us to be able to fellowship together tonight and also to enjoy God's word together. And speaking of God's word, that's actually what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about the power, the power of God's word. And interestingly enough, I think last week in the TMS verses we talked about the word, and then today in the verses that we talked about all the other basic disciplines other than the word. But yeah, tonight we're going to focus in on the word, and I just really want to encourage us all to really consider what God might be speaking to us about at this time. And I think college is a really, really interesting time. It's a really interesting time. It's a really special time because there are a lot of different foundations that are kind of shaken. In that there's like this kind of semi-independence, whereas before college, maybe a lot of us lived with our parents. Maybe now during quarantine, a lot of you are living with your parents. But a lot of times, college affords us kind of a new opportunity, and we have a lot of different opportunities and a lot of different decisions that are kind of ahead of us. And so something that's really, really important for us if we want to be people that follow God is we want to be able to hear clearly God's voice. And so many people think, oh, well, what does that mean? Like, what does that actually mean to hear God's voice? And I want to say that a lot of hearing from God happens through his word. And so the Bible is a really, really valuable, not just a tool or a resource. It actually says in the book of Deuteronomy that these words are our life, you know? And so if they're that important to us, then I think it's really important that we understand its role, the role of the Bible in our lives, and then also how can we enjoy it? How can we intake it in a way that brings life to us? Okay, so first we're gonna look at one of the TMS verses about the word, which is the first one, which is 2 Timothy 3:16. But then we're also going to look at verse 17 today. All right. So it says, all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then verse 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right. And so I think for many of us, we know the Bible is important. Maybe some of us started reading it at a young age, maybe some of us more recently, but we know that it's really important. But what this verse is telling us is that the Bible applies to so many different areas of our lives. This verse is teaching us that not only does it show us the right way to go, it also shows us when we go the wrong way. It not only shows us when we go the wrong way, rebuking, right? It also shows us how to get back onto the right track, how to get back onto the right path, and then training in righteousness, how to continue on that right path. And the purpose of it is what? Not just so that, yes, I'm taught, yes, I'm rebuked, yes, I'm corrected, yes, I'm trained, but the ultimate purpose of it is to develop me, to develop you, to develop us into servants of God that would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How would it feel to be completely ready and completely equipped to do everything that you have to face in your life? You know, that would be awesome, right? If you had everything that you needed. And what it's saying here is that the Bible, all scripture, is given to us so that we could be prepared, so that we could be prepared to do every good thing that we need to do in this life. All right, so let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive deeper into this topic. God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that it's not just that we are talking into space or talking into white wall, but we're talking to a living God, and a living God who doesn't just listen and on whims decide to somewhat answer our prayers, but you're a living God who delights to hear from his children and who delights to speak to us on a daily basis, God. It's not just occasionally, it's not just once a week at a church service or at a fellowship meeting, but you desire to speak to us day in and day out. And I just pray that we would realize that more and more, that we would realize that your word is living, that it's active, that it's in your sovereignty. There's something special that you want to say to us today. And so I pray that we would embrace that, and that we would, through your word, through your love letter to us, that we would draw near to you, that we would get to know you better, and that we would also see the steps that you've laid out for us in our college years and beyond. So we thank you so much, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so today's format's going to be slightly different. We're going to be, it's going to be on the shorter side, and we're going to be discussing some things with the groups. So before we go into kind of the meat of tonight, we're going to break up into groups of two or three. All right. So you're going to have a partner or a small group of people. And I want you guys with your groups to discuss these questions. First, why is God's word important to you? And then second, on a scale of 1 to 10, how prominent is God's word in your life? Okay. So why is God's word important to you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how prominent is it in your life? And we'll talk about it just for a few minutes, and then we'll come back and then dive into the meat of this message. Thank you, Adele. All right, here we go. Hi, guys. Welcome back. So hope you guys had a chance to at least briefly discuss with each other why God's word is important. Before we jump into the rest of the topic, can I get a few volunteers to share why you feel like God's word is important to you? Anyone? Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I think it's important because it's like a source of guidance that I can rely on to be like what I need to hear, because if you're asking a person, there's always a chance that their advice is going to be totally off because people mess up. But if you know that, like, if you go to God's word, you're at least going to get an answer that you know is reliable.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else? Why do you think God's word is important?
I feel like, because it's like the heart of God, and like it's how we know kind of who God is.
Awesome. So we learn about who God is, and we get to learn what he cares about through his word. Cool. Anyone else? Any other thoughts?
We also, in our group, talked about how God's word brings us a lot of comfort, especially during like troubled times. So God's word is important to us because it brings comfort.
Awesome. Cool. Anyone else?
So we said that it was, that brings a lot of wisdom. It's similar to what Sister Sarah said, but like, it brings wisdom because, anything that doesn't come from God, right, without God, there's no concrete, absolute anything, right? So ultimately, it's very subjective, and it could come close to the truth, but it'll never be quite there, right, if it's apart from God. So.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I mean, I think for for different people, I think, you know, the word is important for different reasons, especially at different seasons, right? But it's, I think part of the reason why it's such a source of encouragement and guidance and comfort to us is that, is who it's coming from, and the fact that it doesn't change, right? And so that's something that's really, really important to us. Okay, so we're going to take a look at tonight, what the Word of God is like. And in the Bible, there are a lot of different places where it says the Word of God is like something. Okay, and there are actually many more than the ones that we're going to go through tonight. We're just going to go through three tonight, okay? But there are many more other analogies and metaphors that are used to describe what God's word is like. But three that I feel like are really, really important are these. So the first one is God's word is like, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like a double-edged sword. And of course, that comes from Hebrews 4:12. Can someone read that for us?
Sure, I'll read it. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12.
Ooh. All right. So God's word is alive. It's living. It's active. It's not just a dead book that was written more than 2,000 years ago, and it is what it is. But God has very, very specific things that he wants for us to realize and understand today. Even during this talk, the fact that this verse is coming up during this talk is part of his sovereignty. There's something that he wants us to be touched by and to get from today's talk. Or if you read the Bible at other times, you know, in his sovereignty, there is something that he may want to say to you. Like if you have a quiet time, a devotional time, right? There's something specific that God wants to say to you. So the word of God, it's not just a dead book. And then after you read it once and after you remember generally what's in there, then it ceases to be relevant to you. It's something that is relevant to you day in and day out. It's alive, it's active. And I think the comparison to double-edged sword, there's different interpretations of what that actually means. But I think it's really telling what come, like swords, usually we think of them as kind of like an offensive like weapon, you know? But it's interesting like what comes after, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it's not just like a weapon. And I do think that it is a weapon many, many times because we're constantly under spiritual attack. And there are lots of different lies of Satan, lies of the enemy, lies of the world that we hear in our lives. And so we need the living and active sword to protect us from those lies. But it's not just lies that are coming from outside of us, that are coming from external sources, but many times it's what's inside, you know? And so something special about the Word of God is that it penetrates deeply it's meant to penetrate deeply in our lives and reveal and expose what the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts are, you know? And there's so many things that are not conscious to us, you know? There's so many things that we don't even understand that are going on within us, thoughts, feelings, all these different things. And the thing is, when we treat the Word of God as a living word with God speaking through these words that we may read on a page or even on a screen in this context, then we'll realize there's something specific. He wants to expose what's deep in my soul and my spirit, right? So that I would be right. All right. Another thing, another comparison is a comparison to spiritual food or spiritual nourishment. It says in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so how is the word of God relevant? Well, we know this verse comes from when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if any of you have tried that. Sounds tough to me. I haven't personally. Sounds pretty tough to me. But, you know, you can imagine Jesus was very hungry. And the temptation was to turn those stones into bread for him to eat. And Jesus answered, according to God's word, that it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means we don't just need food for our bodies, but we need food for our soul and for our spirit. And what this verse is telling us is that food is God's word. That God's word is the spiritual nourishment that we need on a daily basis, you know? And if you, how many of you, like, after you haven't, like, after you haven't eaten for a certain number of hours, you know, you get really hungry? Or some of us, you know, after we haven't eaten for a couple of hours, we get hangry even sometimes. I'm not going to name names, but, you know, I know that happens to people sometimes, you know? But, you know, that shows us, like, our body knows when we need nourishment, when we need food. So the question is, do our souls know when we need spiritual food? Do we know when we need spiritual food? How often are we getting spiritual food? Is it just at a Sunday service or at, like, a, you know, Wednesday night fellowship meeting? I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad because this is a great opportunity to get fed. But are you feeding off of the word on a daily basis? Do you realize your spiritual hunger and your spiritual need for nourishment even more than your need for physical food? I'd say probably for most of us, probably not. It, you know, our physical hunger is quite prominent, I think, many times in our lives, you know. But developing that sensitivity, that awareness that I need spiritual food, I need spiritual nourishment, you know, and I need it every day. A third thing, you know, that God's word is compared to, and this is the last one, but it's compared to a, I know I can see certain people are guessing what it's going to be. It's a spiritual mirror. It's a spiritual mirror. Of course, it says in James 1, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, how many of us want to be blessed in everything that we do? How many of us will want to be successful in everything that we do? And I would say that's probably most of us, you know. Most of us want to be recipients of God's blessing, want to be successful in everything that we do. And yet, for many of us, the how to getting to that place of success is try hard, you know, or develop your skills, develop your talents, or, you know, dream big and reach for your dreams and persevere and never give up. But what God's word says is if you want to be blessed in everything that you do, if you want to be successful in what you do, you got to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. And I think that's such an interesting phrase because not many of us think of the law as something that gives freedom. You know, many of us just think it's rules, many times, and those rules actually have no ability to help you. They have no ability to help you be good. They just show you kind of what the standard is, but the rules themselves don't actually give you the ability to be good. But what's special about the Word of God is it's not just standards, but God intends, God created the world, God sustains the world, God heals, God makes, God changes through the power of His Word. And so His Word isn't just like words that are on the screen or words that are on the page. They have the power to give life. And so when God speaks, especially a timely word to our hearts, it's something that gives us freedom, because we realize that it's not just laws that I have to, based on my own effort, try to live up to and try to meet, but it is something that God is speaking to me so that I can be empowered by Him, guided by Him, fully comforted by Him to live the life that He's meant for me to live. So why is there this comparison to a mirror, you know? And it doesn't explicitly say the Word is like a mirror, but it says anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see, the Word of God shows us and exposes us, to us, what's right and what's not right. You know, what is going well and maybe what needs some change. You know, I had one of these, oh, this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but well, I think I need mirrors frequently because I'm kind of a messy eater. So people are constantly telling me that there's food on my face. This morning, I think my wife was telling me I had dried yogurt on my lip. Oh, embarrassing, you know? But that's why that's why we need a mirror, right? We gotta see, you know. Also, this week I attempted to, you know, now everyone don't look at my face, but I attempted to do something, you know, without looking. I attempted to, I shave every day, and I attempted to, you know, just shave just by, you know, kind of like feeling it out, and then, you know, I shave, and then I'm just like mindlessly shaving while I'm doing something else. And then I end up in the car, and then I look at myself in the rearview mirror, and lo and behold, there's like a huge patch, like just right here. And I was just like, oh man, this is going to bother me. I have to go on Zoom later today. Oh my gosh, this is going to bug me, you know? And I'm a guy too. So, you know, like, you know, mirrors are important. It shows us kind of like the state of things. And, you know, some of us, you know, may have contentious relationships with mirrors, but I think, you know, the reason why God wants to reveal what we actually look like, where we actually are to us, is so that He could touch us and bless us, and that He could transform us, you know? So the spiritual mirror is not just like, this is what's wrong with you, you go fix it yourself. But He's showing us, this is maybe what's not right. Now let me change that. Let me touch that. Let me wipe off that dried yogurt off your lip, you know? But let me touch that. Let me change that. Let me transform you, you know? All right, so God's Word, it is like a double-edged sword. It is like spiritual food, bread for us, right? And it is like a spiritual mirror, right? It penetrates, it's living and active. It penetrates deep inside of us. It gives us the nourishment and the feeding that we need. And it shows us maybe things that are right and maybe things that are not right. It's so important in our lives. And there's this very important illustration, and this is where I want to, we're not quite concluding yet, but this is kind of how I want to finish up today's talk. But there's this very important illustration from the Navigators, that we like to go over in our ministry, and it is called the word hand. The word hand. And the word hand describes different ways that we can intake the word of God, you know, and all of these are really important. So we're going to look at them one by one, and I'm not going to use exactly the verses that are listed here, but we're going to go through them one by one and see how they're important and relevant to our lives, you know. And if we were in person, yeah, I'd probably be drawing this on the whiteboard. So I'm sorry, but yeah, if you're taking notes, you can just, you know, trace your hand in your notebook, you know, trace your hand in your notebook, and then we'll talk about each one. We'll start from the pinky and go to the thumb, okay? And we'll talk about each one. So the first way to intake God's word, the pinky finger, is to hear. And right now, because we're talking about the word of God, and the word of God is being preached, and the word of God is being explained and taught to you, right now we have an opportunity to hear the word of God. And the reality is, I've met one brother who one day decided to open up the Bible and just start reading, and God blessed him with the gift of faith. But I don't know many other people that just suddenly decided, why don't I read the Bible one day, you know, and opened up their Bible, and then God blessed them with the gift of faith. With most people, God uses people to share. God uses other people to share and to teach. And so how the gift of faith comes to most people is through other people. And so hearing is very, very important. It says in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Okay? So God's word is what's responsible for bringing about faith, for planting faith into our lives. For many of us, it's a starting point. And for many of us, maybe coming to this fellowship meeting or going to a church worship service, that is where we hear God's word. And I have to admit, coming into college, I definitely had different seasons where I enjoyed like reading God's word. But for me, the primary means by which I intook God's word prior to coming into college was through hearing other people teach it, was through pastors on Sunday. Or sometimes I went to some youth group fellowship on Friday nights or something. But generally, it's hearing. And it's so interesting because I think many people can hear the same message and actually be blessed and challenged in so many different ways. And that's why it's so valuable many times, not just to hear a message or hear a sermon, but to be able to share about it, to be able to talk about it. But in any case, hearing God's word, whether it's through a pastor or whether it's through other brothers and sisters, a small group, a leader, many times we hear, and that's the primary means through which we come to faith. But then through many of our lives, hearing the word being taught, hearing the word being proclaimed, is also how we learn and grow further. Okay, the second one, which is the ring finger, right? The second one is to read. And reading God's word is really special because many times, I mean, sometimes it's reading aloud, and this verse we'll talk about reading aloud, you know, but many times reading, there's something more personal. There's something that stands out to me as I read God's word. Okay, so versus hearing God's word, sometimes it might not be directed specifically towards me, but many times when I choose to read God's word, there is a very pointed and directed emphasis or focus. Or sometimes God just reveals to me, there's some sin in my life that shouldn't be there, that he wants to that he wants to bring up so that I could confess it, so that I could receive freedom from it, you know? But reading many times is a really, really important way that we really draw near, to God and learn to hear from him personally. In Revelation 1:3, it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near." And oh gosh, this verse could unpack it for days. But definitely, I think it's important that we realize this book is, I mean, this verse is specifically talking about Revelation, you know. But I think the principle applies that when we read, when we hear, when we take to heart God's word, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. All right, the third thing, the middle finger. The middle finger is to study. All right. So study. And the verse we'll look at, of course, is a wonderful one, Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. And it says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." And studying the Bible and examining the scriptures is really, really important. Studying is systematic, maybe sometimes not systematically, but taking apart the Word of God and analyzing it, looking at how the different parts relate to each other, looking at related verses, looking at the context of a passage, looking at a lot of different things, the main idea, the main points, studying specific words in specific verses. There are many different ways and techniques to study the Word of God. But I think it's so important, and as we see here, the Berean Jews are actually commended, and they're actually given this commendation that they're of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, because they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Right? And examining the scriptures and studying the Bible is so important, because we need to be able to discern if what we are being taught is actually what is there. And I tell this with the guys that I meet with on a regular basis, or even the first time, if they've just started walking with Christ, I'll tell them, if I ever say anything that contradicts what the Bible says, don't listen to me, listen to the Bible, right? Very, very important. And that's why we need to examine the scriptures every day to see if what we are being taught is truly what is being said in the scriptures. It's so important because there are a lot of lies and a lot of different ideas and a lot of different cults even that teach false doctrines. And some of them are even very active on our campuses, you know. I don't know how many, I know at least some of you have had experiences of being approached by people in cults who distort the Word of God and who take certain verses out of context to mean things that they don't mean. And that's why it's so important for us to have regular and consistent study of God's Word so that we would be able to discern what is truth and what is error, what is truth and what is distortion, right? Just like these Berean Jews. Now, I want to caution us against just examining the scriptures and studying the Word of God, trying to gain big heads full of knowledge and full of understanding. But you see the heart of these Berean Jews. They received the message with great eagerness. You know, they weren't just like, let me figure out if this is right. You know, they weren't just like robotically or mechanically trying to fully analyze the correctness of Paul, but they did so from a place of faith. They did so from a place of great eagerness, you know? And how many of us really, every time we come to the Bible, we're just like, yeah, I'm excited to hear God's word. You know, how many of you, I see some nodding here and some camera shaking here, but how many of us, you know, when it came time to the message tonight, were like really thrilled and really excited that God is going to speak to me. God wants to speak to me tonight through this time. And how many of us, when we pick up the Bible in the morning or midday, we're just like, I need this. I want this. I need this. There's great eagerness. The fourth thing, which is the index finger, is to memorize. It's to memorize. Remember earlier we read that verse about Jesus saying, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, he said it is written not just because he had some cheat sheet in his pocket. I don't know if he had pockets, but like he had some cheat sheet that told him, this is what I need for this context. He was able to say that word and fend off the enemy and fend off Satan because he memorized that. He had that held in his heart. And so how many of us, we face all kinds of lies day in and day out in our lives. But how many of us realize how valuable our double-edged sword is to defend us against those lies? And so memorizing God's word is so important. You know, it's so important for us to be able to defend against the enemy, to remember the truth. But sometimes we memorize things and it still doesn't hit us like how valuable it is. Until one day we come across some situation and then God really shows us, wow, that's what that verse means. I remember I wasn't intending to tell this story, but I remember this one, the first summer that I participated in our summer missions. Oh, Brother Ed was there. Our summer missions project. We taught English to students, mostly high school, university age students. And we taught in two different cities. And in the first city that we went to, there was this in my class that I was teaching English to, there were these guys who like I got along with really well. They got along really well with me. We spent a lot of time together, really enjoyed each other's company, got to share a lot of different things with them. And some of them were still in contact to this very day. I'm dating myself, but it's more than 10 years ago, you know? But then we went to the second city and all the levels changed. I was teaching a higher intermediate class in the first city. In the second city, I'm teaching the beginner's class. And I don't speak Russian, or I didn't speak Russian at that time. I didn't know the local language. And you know, the kids, they're teenagers. So they're, you know, I'm asking them to teach me some things in Russian, just like I'm teaching them English. And of course they're teaching me Russian swear words and then laughing when I repeat after them and all those different things. You know, and I was just, after the first week, I just remember feeling so frustrated, so frustrated. Like the first city, we got along well. I could share a lot of things. I could share these things from the Bible with them. And now I'm in the second city and I can't even have a normal everyday conversation with them. And that's when a verse that I had memorized a few months ago came into mind. It's in the TMS pack. It's in EPAC, 1 John 3:18. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And I realized that I had been trying so hard to love them by talking to them, by wanting to tell them about Jesus with my words, by wanting to say this and this to them, wanting to understand them, wanting to learn from them. But God wanted to teach me. I didn't understand that verse, really, until that situation where I needed it. I absolutely needed it to understand what God really wanted to do through me. And so I think part of what he was teaching me at that time was to show me that it's not just about what you can say or if you can convince them about the gospel or if you can convince them about anything about Jesus, but I want you to love them. I want you to love them from a place of sincerity, not because of what you can do for them, or not because of what you can do for me, or not so that you could feel successful, like you could feel accomplished, but I want you to love them in sincerity, in truth. And so many times God's word, as it's memorized, then we remember it, we kind of enjoy it, yeah, it's kind of good, but then we go on and live our lives until the Holy Spirit strikes and reveals to us, this is why I wanted you to memorize that verse. This is why I wanted you to know that this is true, that you would know, you would really understand what I'm saying through this verse, you know? And so God's word memorized helps to keep us from sin. At the moment of temptation, the word of God comes and we can defend against the attacks of the enemy. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart protects us and keeps us away from sin, keeps us going in the right direction, reveals to us what sin is. But it also reveals to us, he can use memorized word later on to reveal to us valuable and important truths that we need. And of course, memorized truth is also so important for us to be able to share with others. When it comes to sharing with others about your faith, what do you think is more powerful, God's word or your words? You know, many times we rely on our own explanations, apologetics, answers that you want to just knock out the other side and convince them this is the right answer. You know, or do you rely on God's word? Do you rely on God's word for the truth? And that's one of the reasons why we memorize God's word, why we reviewed TMS earlier on, why we memorize God's word, and why we pay close attention to those references. Guys, if you're not diligent about your references, I encourage you, get diligent about your references. So important. So at the moment when somebody has the question, you can say, you can flip to that verse in your Bible and say, why don't you read this? Look at what it says here, right? Knowing the references also may help you to understand the context, like under what context, as you study the Bible more, as you understand the Bible more, like what chapter, what kind of discourse does this verse come out in, right? So that you're not misunderstanding or misinterpreting the verse. All right, many benefits to memorizing scripture, and that could be a whole message in itself, so we won't go much further down that trail. But last but not least, of course, we want to meditate. And meditation is the idea of meditation means something different in 2020, but meditates here, it's meditating on God's word. A lot of times meditation in the worldly 2020 sense means to focus on your breathing and deal with those different thoughts and those different attitudes that hinder you from just being and being mindful of who you are and where you are, you know? But many times what we really, really need is a focus. We need a focus as we meditate on, we need to meditate on something. And God's word, what it is much better to meditate on God's word so that he can lead us by his Holy Spirit into all the truth, right? So meditating is so important. It means one of the old navigators, Jim Downing, he just passed away actually a few years ago at 106, I think. Oh. Yeah, he lived to be, yeah, quite old. But one of the navigators, Jim Downing, he likened meditation to rumination. So it's like, you know how cows have multiple stomachs and they chew on things and then it goes to stuff. I don't know the exact processes. I studied bio a long time ago, so I'm not really sure. But they chew and then it goes to the stomach and then it comes back out and they chew on it again. You know, they digest and they ruminate, they dwell on, and they fully process what they're eating. And so meditation is to be for us, that we are meant to not just read something or hear something and not just in one ear and out the other, right? Or not just read something and be like, cool, that's nice. But we're meant to really dwell on God's word, to chew on it, right? To think about it, to consider what it means for our lives. And that's why meditating is so important. Of course, Psalm 1, 2, and 3, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And there we go again to that theme of prosperity and success being related to our delight and our attachment to God's word. And the law of the Lord, his delight is in the law of the Lord, right? Just like that great eagerness that we read about just a moment ago with the Berean Jews, right? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you find delight? Do you find joy in God's word? And beyond that, meditates day and night. Day and night isn't just like, okay, once a week on Sunday. Okay, twice a week on Wednesday and Sunday. But our calling is to meditate on God's word day and night. To really let his word fill us up. Kind of like what Pastor Min was saying last week. Saturate us like a sponge, right? To really let God's word fill us up, right? So are we willing to ruminate, to meditate day and night? And in this process of meditating day and night, that we would be like this fruitful tree that's always nourished, that's always healthy, that doesn't fear when heat comes, because our leaves will not wither. They're always healthy. That we will prosper in all that we do. And I hope that you will prosper this school year in everything that you do. But the key to that is through his word. And so will you meditate on it and enjoy it? Now, part of the reason why this illustration is called the word hand is because many of us really need to hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate on God's word so that we have a firm grasp on God's word. You know, if you just hear God's word once a week or twice a week as it's preached in a sermon, this is about how stable your grasp on God's word is going to be. Not very stable. But if you hear, and if you read, and if you study, and you memorize, and you meditate, you'll have a strong grasp on God's word. You know? If you hear and read, yeah, it's a little bit better. But if you learn to grow in these different disciplines or ways to intake God's word, you have a stronger grasp on it. And you'll see more how it is relevant, how it applies, how it's important to your life. And that's so much of what we need in this upcoming year to really be prosperous and successful, right, with this upcoming year. Okay? So truly, just one more reminder before we conclude, but in order to really get what we like, really get the full amount of what we need to get from hearing, reading, studying, and memorizing, what we really need to do is we need to meditate after we hear. Like, not just hear, but think about what was said. Some of us are taking notes, but do we look at those notes after we take them, right? Do you look back on that, you know? When you read, you don't want to just read mindlessly, but you want to think about what you read, right? You want to meditate on what you read. When you study, you want to meditate. When you memorize, you want to meditate, right? So with the first four disciplines, we want to be sure that we're not just intaking, but we're meditating, we're digesting, so that we can get all the nutrients, all the blessing that we're meant to get from God's word, and really absorb it into our lives. We're going to conclude in a moment, but first we're going to break up into our pairs or our groups again, and we're going to share with each other which of the word hand intake methods do you need to grow in, and how can you enjoy the word more this school year? Okay, so these two questions, and maybe for some of you it might be like a lot of these, you know, like I'm pretty weak in all of these, or maybe I'm weak in a few of these, or maybe there's one of these areas where I need to grow more, right? So first, which of the word hand intake methods do you need to grow in? And it's okay, no shame if it's more than one, okay? Which do you need to grow in, and how can you enjoy God's word more this school year? Okay, so we're going to break up into our groups and talk about that for a few minutes, I'd say somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, and then after that, we'll come back and I'll close us up for the evening, okay? Hi, everyone. Well, welcome back. Hope you guys had the opportunity to share with each other a little bit. And I just really want to encourage you guys as we close out the evening, definitely to make a plan to choose one of those areas where it might be kind of weaker in your life, and to, yeah, make a plan to enjoy God's word through that particular avenue, that particular way this week. I think many times when we don't make plans, it's really hard to follow through. So I really want to encourage you to, yeah, make a specific plan as we close out the evening, not just to think, oh, that was nice, or, oh, I should really grow in that, but to actually make a plan to grow in that area this week. So just remember that those areas are hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. That if you could choose one of those particular areas that you want to grow in this week, and make a specific plan. And if you're feeling daring, you can even ask a fellow brother or sister to keep you accountable for diving into enjoying and growing in that particular area with this upcoming week. All right, well, let's close in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your powerful word, and we just acknowledge we need it more. We need it more in our lives. We need you more in our lives. So many times it's tempting to follow our own desires or follow the ways of the world, follow the lies of the enemy. But you've given us your powerful word. You've given us your truth so that we really know which way you're directing us to go. And so we thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that your word is like a mirror for us. We thank you that your word is our daily spiritual nourishment, that we don't just have to eat once a week or twice a week, but we can eat at all times in all these different ways. So would you bless us to meditate on your word day and night, that there would be prosperity and success in our lives, not just in a worldly or fleshly way, but on your terms, God, as we get to know you and as we get to know your purpose and your design for us and for our lives. So we thank you so much, and we want to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.